Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Still feeling good about that win over New Mexico. Colorado State winning that one 76-68. They got a road game coming up against Utah State this weekend. Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Kevin, my man, I just got to say this, dude. I was listening off and on last week when you filled in. And again, everybody did great. Everybody did great. But you've got the KFKA vibe, man. You've got the stuff down. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Me and Adam Nygon enjoyed the opportunity, and I think we had a good time together. Kind of funny how the world works. You know, Nygon and I go way back, so it's fun to join him. I think we had some fun guests, so we just appreciate the chance to go on, and most importantly, we're glad that everything still works after we left.
Well, I thought you guys did great, and again, our relationship with you and, you know, working with Adam too, but just appreciative of so much of what you're doing and covering these Rams on a daily basis. Nobody does it better. And what a game for Colorado State the other night, man. We had Mr. Cartier on the program yesterday, and Kevin, maybe I prematurely did this, but I went ahead and made him my player of the week, and it's only Thursday, so a lot can happen. We had a UNC guy go off for 30, so I could have made a mistake there. So I'm really hoping Cartier can get another 20-plus point performance against Utah State. That would make me look a little smarter.
Yeah, that was a huge performance for him. He is, in a lot of ways, doing what we expected, but I think it still flew a little under the radar what was expected of him. Partially because of other, you know, obviously everyone, you know, was excited about Isaiah Stevens' return, what he'd do, and rightfully so, and, you know, the new pieces with Nick Clifford and Joel Scott. But, you know, I just remember, I think I tweeted, I should go find it, because, it's hard for me to look smart, so I need to find those things when I do. I think it was during the Mountain West tournament last year, I tweeted something like, you know, Cartier could be an all-conference type of player next season, and he's looking like that. He's so efficient. His footwork is incredible inside. It's, you know, everyone loves, you know, high athleticism plays, and understandably so, but there's just a special artwork, if you will, about, you know, clean footwork inside, and Cartier does it. You know, he finishes his left really, really well, which is, you know, that goes to tell you how much he works on his game. It's just fun to watch. And then, you know, he's super efficient at the 3-point ball, and it's funny. He makes sure to let defenders know when he hits his first 3-pointer of, you know, hey, young fella, you might want to come out here with me.
No, he's fun to watch, man. There's no question about it. He was the star of that show. Isaiah Stevens is always the star of the show, right? I mean, he's just not going to – we're so used to him, like 18 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. He just – perfect from the free throw line. And that is the highest compliment I think you can pay a guy, is basically say – yeah, we just expect that kind of stuff. He's just that guy, steady Eddie, every single night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that line you just said, you can basically just write it in and say that's sort of your baseline of what you're going to get. I think one of the things that speaks to how consistent he is post-game, Nico Medved was talking about him, and basically that, if he always makes the right decision, Medved kind of talks, he goes, well, there was that one possession, and that tells you when a guy has one possession wrong in the entire game, and you can pick it out. You know, there are a lot of possessions in a basketball game. You know, everyone else has a lot more than one where they do something wrong. Nico's like, well, there was one, so I guess let's clean that up. That tells you the level that he plays at.
Yeah, and just his demeanor. He looks the part, Kevin, of an NBA player. I don't know. Again, you're better at this than I am. I don't know if he has the size or whatever, but he just, to me, he looks the part, and we'll see what happens in the future.
And I think what we're seeing is, you know, we've all been around Isaiah Stevens a lot now, and we know the talent. We've seen it. Everyone has seen it. But if you're around him a lot, you know the mindset, too. And he has, I mean this as a compliment, some of that Jordan streak of,
yeah,
whether it's real or perceived, he's going to take flights and use them as motivation. So he hasn't directly said this, at least to my knowledge, but you know darn well in his head, he's saying, okay, I went through these NBA workouts and, you know, they told me I'm not ready yet. I'm not good enough yet. Well, I'm going to show them. And and he's just playing. He's always been great, but it's just another level this year. And you know that he, you know, obviously he's doing it for the team and himself and everything, but some of that growth is like, okay, huh? They said I need to take it to another level. I'm going to show them I have another level.
Yeah, and I love that mindset. And, he's like you said, it's not outward. Like it's not cocky. It's not arrogance. But he does perhaps use some of that and brings it inward. And the output is absolutely wonderful as the Rams get the dub. Now on to Utah State. Tough matchup there. 13-1, Utah State on the road. First off, Kevin, for our listeners' sake here, how can one watch that game this weekend?
Yeah, this is the tweets are going to be flying Saturday night, I feel like, because it's Mountain West Network only, which is, I mean, just flat out, it's a shame. You could even elevate to a travesty in a basketball sense if you want, that these two teams are buried on an internet broadcast. So the MW.com, the good news is, you know, smart TVs and stuff, you can download the app and watch it on your TV or cast it to there. So you can watch it like TV, but it certainly isn't going to get the eyeballs that the New Mexico game did and probably the eyeballs that it deserves. It's a whole complicated thing on TV contracts. They're set a long time ago. I'm going to assume without being in that room that the TV folk didn't really think Utah State was going to be very good and probably not Colorado State either, so didn't highlight this one. So right in circumstances, not an ideal broadcast situation. And it'll be the same Tuesday in Boise as well.
Well, at least we'll get an opportunity to watch the game via the Mountain West Network. So at least there's that. All right. So let me ask kind of a reverse here. I'm always asking, like, what do the Rams need to do to beat Utah State? Well, at this point, I'm seeing how good this Rams team really is. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. What is their kryptonite? How does a team like Utah State beat them? If you want to, like, what is a weakness that the Rams have at this stage, Kevin?
Well, though CSU has lost one game, so I think, you know, your starting point is to go to that. That was the St. Mary's game, and that was the one game that Isaiah Stevens wasn't phenomenal. He had, I think, a 6 turnover, something like that. You know, he wasn't terrible, but his standard is so high that, you know, for him it was a quote-unquote bad game. And obviously he starts everything for that offense that's so good. So this is me, you know. Easy for us to sit here on the radio and say this, just slow down Isaiah Stevens. That's all you have to do. Now, St. Mary's has a unique size and defensive capability, I guess, that I don't think most teams have. So, again, it's hard to do, but that has to be your number one. But for Utah State, I mean, I'm really intrigued by them. Obviously, their record is great. They haven't played a great schedule, but they beat everyone and pretty handily a lot of times. And the Spectrum, that place is a nightmare to play. It is loud. I'm sure it will be full Saturday night. So I think a lot of it for them is going to be get their guys going early. Great Osabor is kind of their star right now. And get them going, get that crowd flowing, and kind of overwhelm CSU early.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan. And, man, it's just get ready, right? Because this Mountain West Conference is so much fun. There's going to be so many great games. And that's also why I think that New Mexico game was so important to get it early, because I think these teams are kind of going to beat each other up. It's just a matter of, you know, how much can you withstand? And when it's all said and done, we've got a lot of March Madness teams in the mix here. But I think it's probably conceivable to think that the Rams could easily lose a handful of Mountain West Conference games because that's how stacked this is.
Yep, I think the Mountain West winner at best will be 14-4. I think it's very possible you could have a 13-5 tie at the top. I had someone, I think, tweet this to me the other day, basically saying, you know, CSU should win 15 or 16. I said, sure, that's a great plan. I'm sure Nico would like to do that, but but that's not realistic. That would be incredible. If CSU goes 15-3 in conference play, you're looking at, I don't know, 2-3 seed maybe in the NCAA tournament, because this league is so good. I did the math of the 18 conference games. As of this week, CSU would have 6 quad 1 and 6 quad 2 games. So that tells you every game is super, super tough. And any win is pretty much a big win. So, yeah, I think you need to protect home court, in those 9 home games. You know, probably need to win 8 at least. and then see if you can be around 500 on the road. That's a pretty good formula.
You know, I knew the Rams were good. I think we all kind of think they're, I don't even know if we think anymore, they're going to be dancing. But I got to tell you, I looked at that line, -3.5 against New Mexico. And you know, I've always talked about so highly of New Mexico. I thought, man, this could be tough. This could be a tricky one here because New Mexico is so talented. Those guards are ridiculous. But you had a mixture of things happen in that one. Foul trouble obviously being a big one. But CSU showed me that they're even better than I thought. Like, I was worried about this game, and they ended up, at the end of the day, handling it pretty, you know, relatively easy.
Yeah, it's just a really mature team that keeps finding a way to do what they need to, and this offense is so good. You know, the defense, they started slow. They're kind of getting carved up inside. New Mexico, like you say, those guards are really good, and they're making – it was actually more their passing that was creating problems. Donovan Dent is a really good player that I think maybe is being hurt by Mashburn and House a little bit, but that's a whole different conversation. But CSU started defending it a little better, getting in the lanes, and then the offense, you know, it's going to have a surge because they just have so many guys that do things well, and the ball just moves so much. When you move the ball like CSU does, there's just going to be times where it overwhelms the defense when the timing clicks, and that's what they do. So, yeah, I think the maturity of this team just keeps shining, and that's what you hope will carry them on the road. You know, that's what, you know, Utah State's going to be a really hard environment. And CSU, to be frank, hasn't been in one yet. You know, the two road games, no offense to UNC and LMU, not really super hostile environments. You know, the Creighton game was technically neutral. It was Creighton heavy, but it wasn't, like, daunting. This is going to be the first daunting environment. And this doesn't guarantee success, but I don't think this team will be awed by it.
What is it about Colorado State? What is it about this team, Kevin, that, again, you're going into this game against New Mexico and you think, okay, it's probably going to be a neat Clifford night or Isaiah's going to have 25 or 23. But instead, as we talked about, it was Patrick Cartier with 21 points there. And again, Neek and Stevens were both good, but there's a balance there. And, you know, you also saw New Mexico get in the paint the first few possessions, and I thought it might be a long night in the paint for CSU, but then that changed. What is it about what Nico Medved's doing that is creating so much separation for this team to be kind of choosy with who they want to take over on a nightly basis?
You know, it's so cliche for a deep team, but it's also so accurate for this team of on a given night, it can be just about anyone. And the depth really shown this one. You know, Josiah Strong is still out. He'll be back very soon, maybe Saturday. But, you know, he's one of your best perimeter defenders. But they can still go 10 deep. And I would say New Mexico is maybe the second deepest team. And it felt like CSU kind of wore them down because you can keep throwing different things. And when one thing isn't working, you can go to something else. You know, Rashawn Bimba and KV Jackson, if you look at their stat line, you know, you don't really think about it. But those guys changed the game with their defense. They got their hands in passing lanes, created a lot of problems, and that helped lead to the offense. You know, Jalen Lake was great defensively. So it's not just the scoring. It's all these different options that help alter a game that CSU can go to. If one matchup isn't working or one guy, you know, is getting beat in a, you know, one-on-one or whatever, you can switch it up because you have so many different options. Gosh, I think that depth is going to be huge because you have, you know, Utah State's one. They kind of play six guys now that they had an injury. Boise State doesn't play many guys. You know, CSU can kind of wear on opponents because they can do so many different things with so many different players.
Yeah, no question about it, man. It's a deep team. It's a fun team, and I'm excited to watch it, and we'll figure it out. Mountain West Network will have us covered this weekend. Kevin, some news on the football side of things, a new defensive line coach.
Yeah, Chuka Ndulu, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, coming from New Mexico State. Jerry Kill there, the head coach, retired, I think you call it. And they had great success. You know, his resume looks good as far as sort of a young up-and-comer, played at Oklahoma, was phenomenal there, signed with the Broncos out of Oklahoma, played a couple years in the NFL. Seems like, you know, Buda Williams was sort of a young rising defensive line coach, and it looks like they got another, so it seems like a good hire. Not coincidentally, there's a New Mexico State defensive lineman transfer in town for a recruiting visit, so That might be a thing coming. So, yeah, it seems on paper like a good hire.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. Kevin, my man, looking forward to Recharging Rams Weekly, first edition of that show coming up for the new year. And we'll catch up with you later this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, so much, man. Kevin, appreciate you. We'll look forward to chatting with you. And as always, folks, check out Kevin's stuff at coloradoan.com. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. 48 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number one here. I don't know if you guys, we talked a bit about this yesterday with Mark Johnson, but Colorado defensive coordinator Charles Kelly heading to Auburn. So he's obviously leaving there, going back to where he was. That was his school, his alma mater there, Auburn. So Charles Kelly, the coordinator for the Buffs, gone as well. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.
Your home for UNC basketball, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.